The StoryCast is supported by you every time you click on our Amazon banner and shop. So head over to StoryCastPodcast.com and click or bookmark our Amazon ad. And we get a kickback on every order you make every time. Simple as that. Thanks.
For a long time, there have been 118 squares on the periodic table of elements. But as real as science is, all 118 weren't actually real. A handful were just imagined. But as 2015 came to a close, researchers finally filled the final pieces in. For a long, long time now, four elements in the seventh row have been hypothetical. They hid in plain sight on your textbook, their names with a bunch of U's, placeholder ideas within the experimental and radiochemical hemisphere, but no longer. These elements have been observed in the flesh, slammed with nuclei, their decay tracked. They're now real. These new elements will finally be recognized and published in early 2016. So the table's complete, essentially. But let's table those complicated atoms, numbers, and half-lives and get to the heart of the elements in our universe, the classic elements, those which all life flows from. Classical thought from Greek and Asian cultures through Hindu and Buddhist ideology had a holistic elementary belief for millennia that just four key elements of our world comprised our natural world, each essential yet dangerous, complementary yet contradictory. The elements, earth, water, air, and fire. And one of those, my friends, is the king of the jungle. This time on the StoryCast, fire. Now, I'm not suggesting for one second that the earth that accommodates us, the air we breathe, and the water that sustains us are afterthoughts. But what I am proposing is the idea that fire consumes us, maybe more than we know. Day in and day out, as we live our flammable lives, fire is all around us, in our natural world, our linguistics, our perspectives, our colloquialisms, and so much more. Let me explain. The sun burns at a perfectly cozy 93 million miles from Earth in a giant ball of fire, fusing hydrogen at a balmy 10,000 degrees at the surface, projecting heat to you every morning to start your day. So, you fire up your morning and drink up your hot coffee as you warm up your car. Thankfully, that burning pain in your neck is gone today. It's been flaring up a lot lately. As you dial up your car's heater, you mull over how you've been under fire lately at work for a little hotbed issue. This new guy, who's essentially a firecracker, is now under your boss's skin, and he's known to have a hot temper. This new dude burnt you big time with a little heat-of-the-moment comment that basically fired a warning shot and put you in the hot seat, fanning the flames. Now, your boss thinks you're a hotshot and is doing everything to light a fire under you, even put a fire in your belly to feel the heat of the situation. Meanwhile, you're left feeling like you have too many irons in the fire and a heated, inflammatory Chinese fire drill. It's really becoming a blazing inferno. Now you're feeling the heat and feel a little like death warmed over, because in the end, you really just don't want to get fired. So, in the heat of the moment today, when you have your feet to the flames, you just really hope your boss has finally warmed up to you. You can see through the flames and notice that you're really just fired up, that you have to fight other people's fires. But regardless of the heat at work, you think of that little hottie back at home who warms your heart and burns you with desire. And the hot chocolate you shared last night at your housewarming party. So before we get too cheesy now, just let your mind fill in the rest. Fire is everywhere in our daily lives, from your mother's warm womb to the crematory flames. We are fire. Sometimes fire hits too close to home. While its flames warm our furnaces and roast our marshmallows, they can also burn our skin and suddenly destroy our possessions. The yin and yang of fire is that it provides, yet takes away. The very oxygen that fire devours is the same ordinary gas that fills our lungs and gives us life. In that way, we are at odds with fire. It is our dangerous nemesis. And in December of 2010, for a Michael Farty of Galway, Ireland, fire took his life. An article in the 1938 British Medical Journal stated observed commonalities of a mysterious anomaly called SHC, or spontaneous human combustion. These common characteristics that follow are most typical of cases suspected to be SHC, according to that published journal article. The victims are chronic alcoholics. They're usually elderly and usually female. The fires cause very little damage to combustible things that come into contact with the body. And there's several more I won't get into, so you can save your lunch. So without going all morbid on you, there are many cases cited throughout history, all the way up to current day, where entire bodies are reduced to ashes, requiring temperatures in the excess of 3,000 degrees. But the surrounding environment is left unscarred by the heat and flames. In most cases related through the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries, the deceased were ruled victims of SHC due to forensic anomalies and burn patterns, and this lack of fire damage adjacent to the body. Victorian-era physicians and writers believe that SHC was a direct result of alcoholism. Critics caution that these cases are unproven and could be a result of overconsumption and immobility in a fire, and point to the physics of the wick effect. I'll let you read about that one yourself. It's kind of gnarly. But the fact remains that there must be a combustion source. Yet, independent studies, even up to current day, still classify many deaths as, quote, unsolved deaths by fire, as was the fate of Michael Farty. A BBC News report from September 2011 chronicles that mystery. First Irish case of death by spontaneous combustion. A man who burned to his death in the home died as a result of spontaneous combustion, an Irish coroner has ruled. West Galway coroner Kieran McLaughlin said it was the first time in 25 years of investigating deaths that he had recorded such a verdict. Michael Farty, 76, died at his home in Galway on the 22nd of December 2010. Deaths attributed to some spontaneous combustion occur when a living human body is burned without an apparent external source of ignition. Typically, police or fire investigators find burned corpses, but no burned furniture. An inquest in Galway on Thursday heard how investigators had been baffled as to the cause of Mr. Farty's death at his home in Clareview Park, Ballybane. Forensic experts found that a fire in the fireplace of the sitting room where the badly burned body was found had not been the cause of the blaze that killed Mr. Farty. The court heard Mr. Farty had been found lying on his back with his head closest to the fireplace. The fire had been confined to only the sitting room. The only damage was to the body, which was totally burned, the ceiling above him, and the floor underneath him. Dr. McLaughlin said that he consulted medical textbooks and carried out other research in an attempt to find an explanation. He said Professor Bernard Knight, in his book on forensic pathology, had written about spontaneous combustion and noted that such reported cases were almost always near an open fireplace or chimney. McLaughlin said, "This fire was thoroughly investigated, and I'm left with the conclusion that this fits into the category of spontaneous human combustion, for which there is no adequate explanation." Retired professor of pathology Mike Green says he had examined one suspected case in his career. He said he would not use the term spontaneous combustion, as there had to be some source of ignition, possibly a lit match or a cigarette. He says, "There is a source of ignition somewhere, but because the body is so badly destroyed, the source can't be found. This is the picture which is described time and time again. Even the most experienced rescue worker or forensic scientist takes a sharp intake of breath when they come across the scene." Mr. Green also says he doubts explanations centered on divine intervention. "I think if the heavens were striking in cases of spontaneous combustion, then there would be a lot more cases. I go for the practical, the mundane explanation, he says. But as for Coroner McLaughlin and Michael Farity, the cause of death, spontaneous human combustion. A Biography of Fire by Russell Silva. I am the flame. I am ritual, light, warmth, cooking, protection, creation, destruction. I was the Big Bang, fusing gases and elements to create the world. I was the magma, the lava, the scarring of the earth, the lightning in the heavens. I incinerate and breathe anew. My light warmed the earth, growing luscious green, melting icy cold, and giving birth to life. My torches gave light, fended off beasts, and cooked food. My heat melted and smelted, my light and warmth anchoring entire civilizations. I was God, and paved the pathway to other gods. My light brought ceremony and energy and meaning to cultures from the Americas to the Orient, from the empires to the tribes. I am the flame. Oh, the things I've seen and done. I've burned witch and colony, scorched dinosaur and mallow, ruined forest and municipality, wild off Philistine and wildebeest, saved life in treacherous winter, and shattered life for astronauts' sons and daughters. My powers brightened filaments, detonated bombs, obliterated away Earth for mobility, and sent men and women into space. I am ageless as the ancient times, where death and horror was my catastrophe, yet as routine as the common campfire, where embers crackle and children sing. I am the flame. I am the anger in the heart of the ruthless, and the warmth in the heart of the selfless. I am affection and lust, rage and vengeance, the harbinger of fear, yet the liberator of light. I am the heat in your belly and the fire in your soul, the simple science that is my glow kept humanity faithful, warm, fed, safe, and innovative, while extinguishing and annihilating everything, every place, and everyone they hold dear. I am both symbol and reality, horror and grace, hate and love. I am the flame. In 1984, Bruce Springsteen released a haunting song about the fire of passion entitled I'm on Fire. Now, my humble opinion, it's not a very good song. It's a couple peculiar lyrics, the cyclic framework of obvious 80s sweaty ballad music, and an even creepier music video. I don't know, I'm sure those are fighting words for anyone at all who's in the Boss's fan club. But what's happened with that song over the years has been even more amazing than the groundbreaking attitude the song was originally given. Many covers over the years are even better than the original, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe you've heard Mumford & Sons' version, or Ben Harper and Jennifer Nettles taking the track that truly pays homage. But there's one man's cover that takes the original and sets it on fire. This is Matt Anderson doing I'm on Fire live. So excuse the sudden clapping and heavy breathing. It's worth it. And if this performance doesn't make your soul burn, I don't know what will.
Tell me now, baby, is it good to you? Will you do to you the things that I do for you? I'm gonna take you higher. Sometimes it's like someone took a knife, edgy and dull, and drove a 6-inch valley through the middle of my soul. But that night I wake up with a sheet soaking wet and a freight train running through the middle of my head. You cool my desire.
Storycast will be back in 2 weeks with more eclectic stories wrapped in intriguing themes.